And we praise you and thank you for this. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, praise team. Appreciate the good music today. It's been a blessing. About 2 months ago, the NFL championship game was played, and there were more people watching that than watched the last episode of MASH, which had previously held the viewership record. There were 106 million people who watched championship football game. And the greatest play in that game was when Betty White was tackled, and everybody really appreciated that. If you saw the game, you know that that was the Snickers commercial. My dad always liked Snickers, by the way. He said that they're the best candy bar for you. That's just an aside. That's free. A Princeton Research Center religious survey recently conducted said that today there are 170 million people worshiping Jesus Christ on Easter Sunday. So this is Super Bowl Sunday, not when only 106 million people watch the football game, but when 170 million people celebrate the living Savior who has been resurrected from the dead. I hope you're not expecting something different and new today, because it's kind of like springtime. Every year you just get the same old beautiful flowers and the same old resurgence of life. It's the same thing that we always celebrate, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave. Amen? April in the Latin is an interesting word, by the way. It signifies open. Because all the buds and blossoms are now opening, we've arrived at the gates of another flowery year. If you're yet unsaved, I pray your heart will be opened to the resurrected Savior, and you can experience the new life that He gives. And only Jesus can give us that new life and make us new creatures in Himself. The Bible says He made His grave with the wicked and with the rich in His death. And although He was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth, He did not see corruption. His body did not begin to decay. And on the third day, His heart began to beat strongly, and His soul returned to His body, and He got up abruptly off of the slab in Joseph of Arimathea's borrowed tomb and walked right out into the garden. And from thence, He has been saving souls, and He's now seated at the right hand of God the Father in heaven, making intercession for us. The gospel, the good news, is the story of a living Savior. He's alive today. The angel told Mary Magdalene and the other Mary as they came to the graveside, "He is not here, for He is risen as He said. Come see the place where the Lord lay." And we want to give you some witnesses today of the resurrection. Is the resurrection a credible fact of history? Who are the convincing witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Well, this day is a witness. The Lord's Day is a witness testifying of the resurrection. We live and die. Christ died and lived. Some say He didn't die, He just swooned. He was nearly dead, but not quite dead. When they put Him in the grave, in the cool grave, He woke up and recovered. I read about Josephus, by the way, who was a Jewish historian who had a lot of intricate connections with the Roman authorities. And two of his friends were hung on the cross to be crucified. And he pled with the Roman officials that those friends would be released and not continue being crucified. And they brought them down from the crosses, but both of them died. I'll tell you, crucifixion, and I'm not going to get into the details of it, is an horrendous means of execution. And Jesus Christ was really dead. And the soldiers that came by saw that He was dead, and one of them said, just to make sure, he stuck his spear in the side of the Lord Jesus, apparently piercing the pericardium, which surrounds the heart, penetrating through one of the portions of the Lord Jesus' heart. And John said, forthwith came blood and water showing that indeed his heart had been pierced and the pericardium surrounding the heart of the Lord Jesus. He was really dead. They embalmed him and they put him in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, and Jewish embalming would have suffocated him if he was living even still. But he was dead. He died, the just for the unjust. Thank God he did, amen. There'd be no hope for us if he didn't. He didn't just swoon, he died. And his body wasn't stolen. The disciples had nothing in them about stealing a body. They had no inclination whatsoever about doing that. They were sad and discouraged and disheartened and defeated and hiding out. And they weren't about to go and attack the Roman soldiers that had made the tomb of Jesus Christ secure. They did not steal his body, even though that was a rumor circulated by the chief priests and Sadducees. On the seventh day, for centuries, mankind celebrated the Sabbath rest of the finished creation. In 6 days, God created the heavens and then the earth. And on the seventh day, he rested. So the seventh day, the Sabbath, which was yesterday, was the day of celebration. But now there's been a new creation. The first day of the week, which is today, we celebrate the Savior's rest of a finished redemption. There was significance in the first dawn following the death of the Savior above the significance of the first dawn following the creation of the universe. And that's why we gather together on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. So I tell you that the Sabbath doesn't testify. The Lord's Day testifies of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This day testifies of the resurrection. And then the empty tomb testifies of the resurrection. Buddha's tomb isn't empty. Muhammad's tomb isn't empty. The tomb of any other religious leader, you'll find the bones in if you know where the tomb is, but Jesus' tomb is empty. By the way, why was that great stone rolled away? When I visited Israel, we saw the trough where that stone actually existed and actually was. It's not there any longer. But why was the stone rolled away? Let me illustrate that by mentioning to you that I've had my grandchildren stay over on occasion. And can imagine with me if one night the grandchildren were there and they said, Pap, they call me Pap. That's a Pennsylvania hillbilly thing. Pap, behind that door there's something and we're afraid. Would you open the door? Now, being a grown, mature adult, I would just say, oh, shut up and go to sleep. There's nothing behind the door. You think I would say that? No. No, I'm a soft-hearted sucker, especially for my grandchildren. I would not say that. I would say, certainly, and I would walk over to the door. I would open the door. I would say, see here, there's nothing there. There's nothing to be afraid of. And in fact, I would probably turn on the light that's in the closet and close the door partway so that there'd be absolutely no possibility of them being afraid. And that's exactly why God rolled away the stone with the angel's help. Because he wants you to be able to see inside. There's nothing to be afraid of in death any longer. The sting of death is gone. Jesus Christ took the stinger. And there's nothing to fear in death. Oh, none of us like death. But in order to get to heaven, if you're saved, you've got to pass through the valley of the shadow of death. And you come out on the other side and you'll be in paradise with the Lord. Amen? So the empty tomb testifies of the resurrection. Jesus Christ was all alone. Alice Maynard wrote, all alone, alone, alone. He rose again behind the stone. The stone was rolled away, not that he might come out. It was rolled away so that we might go in. The Father is saying, check out this grave. I want you to see inside. It's no longer a binding fear. My Son made it a believer's ferry to carry you safely across the river of death to the paradise that he's prepared for you. Mind you, it's not the paradise that the Islamic faith teaches. It's not the paradise that Muhammad said he got from Jibril, the corrupt demon that impersonated Gabriel. The paradise where you go and you have 70 virgins that you can fornicate with forever and ever. The paradise where you can lay on a hammock and get drunk all the time and drink wine. No, it's not that kind of paradise. It's a paradise where nothing enters that may be defiling, where no sin enters, where that there's nothing but righteousness and peace and joy in the presence of Almighty God. That's the paradise we're going to through Jesus Christ. Amen? Revelation, the Bible says in verse 27, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither whatever works abomination or makes a lie, but that which is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is your name written there on the Lamb's Book of Life? The only way you can get to heaven is that if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Normally, when you visit a grave, it's with the intention of remembering the dead. But God made sure that Jesus' borrowed tomb was a place to celebrate the living. Instead of come and remember the one who died, it's come and see the place where the Lord lay. Amen? The Savior has become our Passover, whose conquest of sin and death is celebrated in the Lord's Supper, when we gather together to observe that supper and are reminded that he was dead and he's alive forevermore, and he's coming back again. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will what? Come again, amen, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The Lord's Day testifies of the resurrection. The empty tomb testifies of the resurrection, and the transformed disciples testify of the resurrection. You remember the two were walking on the road to Emmaus. They were all discouraged, and they were talking with one another. They were really bummed out. That's in the original Greek. And as they're walking along there, Jesus said, what manner of communications are these which you have one with another and are sad? And he said, one of them said, well, are you a stranger in Jerusalem? Haven't you heard these things? And Jesus said, what things? Well, he said, about Jesus of Nazareth and how we thought that he was a prophet of God and he was going to deliver us. And we were all excited about him, but now he's been crucified. And not only that, this is the third day since he was crucified. They were all discouraged. And then Jesus said, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have said, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to rise again from the dead and be received into his glory? You see, the disciples who were discouraged, who were mourning, who were sad, who were really, really depressed and totally defeated and hiding out, were all of a sudden transformed. Peter, who denied the Lord three times, so that he didn't have to stand before the Roman officials and the Sanhedrin, stood up after the resurrection of Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. Why don't you flip over there in your Bibles, would you? He stood up with boldness, with courage, with a transformed life, because he knew that Jesus Christ was alive. There were 11 remaining apostles who had walked with the Lord Jesus. And of those 11, 10 were martyred. 10 died a martyr's death with confidence, with boldness, with absolute faith, because they knew Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. There was not an ounce of doubt in their hearts. Listen to Peter in Acts chapter 2 and verse 22 as he stood before the Jews who had orchestrated the crucifixion of Jesus. In Acts 2:22, he said, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by death. He's the Prince of Life, you see. Flip over a couple of chapters in Acts chapter 4. Notice as he confronts the very Sanhedrin council that had pleaded with Pilate to have Jesus executed. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 10. He said, be it known unto you all and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone, the building block, the cornerstone, which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. I'll tell you, the Lord's Day testifies that Christ is risen. The empty tomb testifies that Christ is risen. And the transformed disciples testify that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And the Savior testifies of His own resurrection. The Bible says that His name is called the Word of God. And in Revelation 1 and verse 18, when John the Beloved was exiled to the island of Patmos for his faith and wrote the book of Revelation, Jesus appeared to him and he said these words. He said, "I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and of death." In Luke 24, when he appeared to the disciples in verse 37, he said, as they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they'd seen a spirit, he said, "Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, that is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit has not flesh and bones as you see me have." You see, God is urging you today, if you haven't responded to Him, to look unto Him. Jesus said in Isaiah, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else." By the way, we don't send poor lost penitents to a statue hanging on a cross. We don't say, "These be thy gods, O Israel." We send them to the true and living God who's alive right now. And we say, "Look unto Him and be saved." We don't send them to a baby in a manger. We don't even send them to his mother, who at the time of his birth was a virgin, who later on had several children who became Jesus' half-brothers and sisters. We refuse to direct you to a priest who is a sinner like we. We don't direct you to a preacher like myself. We don't direct you to a human being. We direct you to God, who's over all blessed forever. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And if you don't come through Him, you ain't getting in. If you don't come through the Lamb of God, whose blood shed takes away the sin of the world, you're not coming. There's no other way to get to heaven except through Jesus Christ. We direct you to the Lamb as it had been slain. The Lamb who's also the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. This man, because he continues ever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Amen. And he's able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. He's able to save you. You say, "Well, you don't know how bad I am, preacher." I don't have to know how bad you are. I know how good the blood of Christ is. I know how valuable the sacrifice of Christ is. When Jesus died, He finished paying for all the sins of mankind. And all that believe are justified freely from all things. He was raised for our justification. We don't send you out and tell you now, repent and do the best you can and live a good life from this day forward. We don't tell you that. We tell you by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works. He's given you a gift of eternal life. He rose again to prove that His salvation was accomplished and His sacrifice was perfect and complete. He says to you today, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth." I can't think of an Easter in recent memory where there's been a need for hope any more than Easter 2010. We need hope today. We don't know what the prospects hold for our future, the job, the jobs, the economy. And a lot of people are feeling anxious. They have pressures they didn't have before. They wonder where things will stand a year from now. Nobody ever wants a season of hard times to come, but when they do, they have a way of making you ask, "What am I really counting on? What am I building my life on? What's the foundation for my life? These things that are happening beyond our control, what am I going to find hope in the midst of all of this?" Today, we gather to remember the only hope capable of sustaining a human life through everything. People haven't gathered for the past 2,000 years to come together and encourage one another and say, "The stock market has risen. The value of the dollar has risen. The economy has improved. The gross domestic product is better now. The trade imbalance isn't, that's not why we're here. We're here to say Jesus Christ has risen from the dead and he's alive forevermore. And we can hope because he's alive. He's the one hope that's held up human beings across every continent and culture for two millennia of difficult times of poverty, disease, pain, and yes, even death itself. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. It ain't a fairy tale. We haven't followed cunningly devised fables. We followed the truth. Let me tell you who else testifies of the resurrection. You do. Amen. The redeemed testify of his resurrection. Robert Flatt said, quote, "The resurrection gives my life meaning and direction and the opportunity to start over no matter what my circumstances." Let me tell you, if any man be in Christ, if any woman be in Christ, they're a brand new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. God says, "I will remove your sins as far as the east is from the west, and I will remember them no more." He says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." He was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. He was delivered for our offenses and he was raised again for our justification. If you trust Christ and you stand before the bar of God, the judgment bar of God, he'll say, "You're justified. Enter into the joy of the Lord if you've trusted Jesus." Amen? Because he's alive. He paid the sin debt. The Lord is risen indeed. Can you say that? The Lord is risen indeed. Will you say that with me? The Lord is risen indeed. And we testify by faith in Christ, by knowing that he's resurrected and he's changed our lives, that he indeed has risen from the grave. His resurrection enables you and me to know the exceeding greatness of his power to usward that believe according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And we who have met him by faith have come to know him, but we long to know him better. We're like Paul, who said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. What's Paul saying? That he's trying to hope to get to heaven? No, he's saying, I want to know him better. I want to walk more closely with him. I want to be more like him by his power that he demonstrated in the resurrection so that I'll live now the way I will when I'm resurrected. That's my goal, Paul said. That's the goal of the Christian, isn't it? That we'll be showing that we reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through faith in Jesus Christ. Former Army Ranger Tom Allen went to see the movie Saving Private Ryan. I've never seen it, but Tom Allen recounts his great pride in seeing that movie. He said, in the movie, the Rangers were sent on a mission to rescue Private Ryan, and they were sent into enemy territory, and they went there to rescue him, and he said, "No, I'm not going to leave my comrades there in the midst of a fight, and I'm going to stay here with them." So the Rangers chose to do the same thing. And the battle was won at the cost of most of their lives. One of the main characters, played by Tom Hanks, is shot and he lays dying. And Private Ryan bends over to listen as Hanks whispers, "Earn this. Earn this." Most of the theater audience said Alan wept at that incident because Hanks had been mortally wounded. But Alan said, "I was crying because of what the main character was portrayed as saying. He was angry," he said, "because those words were a gross misrepresentation of the Army Rangers. The Ranger motto for the past 200 years has not been 'earn this,' but 'sua sponte,' which means 'I choose this.' I volunteered for this." A real Ranger would have said sua sponte. In other words, this is free. You don't pay anything for this. I give my life for you. That's my job. There's an Easter connection. When you remember the cross where Jesus died and listen to his last words, you can hear him say, I laid down my life. No man takes it from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. When you listen to Jesus, you hear him say, it's finished. And he bows his head and he gave up the ghost, didn't he? He said, I choose this. I choose this for you. I demonstrate my love for you by this self-sacrifice for you. You couldn't earn this. There's no possible way you could earn this. You could spend eternity in hell fire and not earn forgiveness or find freedom that Jesus paid for. The only way to be saved is to trust Jesus Christ. The only way to be forgiven is that he paid for your sin. He died, the just for the unjust. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, not just to be a martyr, not just to be an example, not just to heal sick people. He died to keep us from hell and to prepare us for heaven. He died so that the just one could give his life for the unjust one so that we could be saved. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. You don't need to sympathize with Jesus in order to be saved. You don't need to compliment his work in order to be saved. It's done. Thank God it's done. There's nothing that needs to be added to it. If you add a thing to the work of Jesus Christ, you corrupt it. His work is perfect. His sacrifice is once for all, and there remains no more offering for sin. And the proof of that is that on the third day, he rose again, triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. Amen? And today you can be saved. Today you can trust Jesus. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. Not be ashamed. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God. Today, I want to ask you to make that step of faith. Today, what better time than Easter Sunday 2010? What better time than a time of troubling situations in our country? What better time than the situation you're in right now? What better time than now? The Bible says now is the accepted time. Now's the day of salvation. So God's calling you. Christ loves you. He's provided a way. There's no question about it. The way is clear. He is the way. Trust in him today. Would you do that? Would every head be bowed, please? Would you bow your heads before the Lord? The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You've heard the message today. You're responsible for what you do now in light of God's good news. You haven't just heard my words. I'm just a messenger boy. You've heard the words of God because I've quoted them and I've preached them. And today, Jesus Christ is offering you life. And he says, look unto me and be saved. Look unto me. Right where you sit, you could call upon the Lord. Will you call upon him? Will you say, Lord Jesus, I know that there's no way but you. I know I need you. So I turn to you with my heart and I receive you. I believe you died for me. You were buried and you rose for me. And I trust you personally to save me right now, at this very moment. Please save my soul and help me to live the rest of my life in gratitude for the unspeakably precious gift, the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ, my Lord. With our heads still bowed, no one looking around, if that's the prayer of your heart, if you join me as I repeated that prayer. If you're trusting Christ today for the first time as your personal Savior, and I'm talking about religion, I'm talking about a relationship. If you're trusting Christ right now, would you slip your hand up and not be ashamed? Would you hold it up for a moment and then put it down? I won't call your name or embarrass you, but if today you're trusting Christ and you haven't before, slip it up and put it down, would you? Anyone? Anyone like that? If you know you're saved and you're thankful, Would you raise your hand all over the auditorium? Thank God. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Father, we bow before you today, and there's no way we could ever repay or ever appreciate enough the wonderful gift, the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But we offer our thanks to you this Easter Sunday. We thank you this Resurrection Sunday for the witness of the Lord's Day, for the disciples and the empty tomb and our own testimony and the Word of God that affirm to us the truth as it is in Jesus. Help us to be unashamed, to be proud of you and the Lord Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together, please. There may be a burden on your heart.